Last time you mentioned was Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes in the name of Shlomo Zalman that when it comes to defining tavlin for purposes of plisheni, that the Mishnah indicated that tavlin are not nisbashel in a plisheni. The tavlin of Chazal are different than the spices that we have. The tavlin of Chazal are chunks of ginger, chunks of cinnamon, and not ground spices. But ground spices don't have the status of tavlin and may be considered kali vishal and potentially subject to vishal in a plisheni. In the Orcho Shabbos, Parag Aleph Ta'aret Sadi Zion, he takes issue with that. He points out, or they point out, that number one, there are various indications in Gemara that they did have ground spices, the Mei Chazal. For example, the Gemara on Kuf Mem Aleph and Shabbos talks about a shelfie pebble if you're grinding pepper. So if you're grinding pepper, obviously they have ground pepper. So they did have ground spices. Or the Gemara and Beza that talked about being dach, a tablet. So that also indicates that there were spices that were ground. And Rosh Hashanah says, not in Stavir, that Chazal talked about tablet, we only need one type of tablet, not the other type of tablet. They should have explained that if that was the case. And the Shabbos Kitchen quotes that as well from the Sefer Shmos Yitzchak, who spoke to Shlomo Zalman about it, and Shlomo Zalman in that private conversation wasn't as convinced about what he's quoted as saying in Shmos Shabbos. He wasn't sure if indeed that's the case, that tablet is limited to chunks of spices. And Shmos and the Shabbos Kitchen, Paskins, like the Orcho Shabbos, that no, spices, even if they're ground, could potentially be tablet. So he says a lot of mice that if you have ground ginger, ground cinnamon, and ground pepper, that is not nisbasha b'klisheni, that is considered tablet, and you can put it in a klisheni without reservation. That's the Paskins again, so which Shmos Shabbos quotes from the Shlomo Zalman. Okay. We also discussed last time the status of salt, and we spoke a little bit about the modern salt production methods and how that impacts on this din of melach and the distinction that we noted that mishabrua is koshesh, even if you have melach that was mishbashel previously, maybe you have to be koshesh for that position. That the Shari Shuva quotes from Zera Emes, even if Zera Emes himself didn't say this, as we pointed out, maybe you have to be cautious for the position that even if you have something that's in special, if it liquefies, that's considered to be a Dabar Lach and not a Dabar Yavish, and therefore subject to Bishal after Bishal. And the Mishnah Berurah practice says, when it comes to Klivisha Shehusim El Gabe Eish, that you have to be Machmiran, even the Malach Shalanu, as opposed to a Klisheni, where you could be Megal, if the melech is ready in the special, to put it in a klisheni, since maker it in, we pass in that melech anyway is in the special, even in a klimushin shalusim ragavish. So I got a little bit more information. Rabbi Eli Gersten of the OU, the director of OU PSOC and policy, sent me OU document S12, which part of what we discussed last time is from this document. But in the OU document S12, dated May 2000, they talk about three different methods of producing salt. Rock salt mining, which involves no heat, but that's not commercially sold salt. Solar evaporation, in which salty seawater is gathered into ponds where the sun evaporates the water, leaving salt on the floor. Then it's dried in an oven, heated to 200 to 300 degrees Fahrenheit for 10 minutes. And this method is used in areas with warm, dry climates like Israel, Australia, California, the Bahamas, and the Caribbean. Maybe Hawaii too, if they make salt there. And then more commonly is what's called solution mining, where salt mines are filled with water and the mixture of water and salt is pumped out of the mine, which is brought to a boil. And there are different stages of this heating up. And some of them are up to boiling point. Some of them are less than Yad Soled Espa. The issue is that sometimes you have a mixture of salt that's produced at different temperatures. So let's say you have salt where the majority of the salt is mufushal, but a little bit of salt wasn't heated up to a temperature of yassa levispo in the production process. So they quote that bittul berov isn't relevant when we're talking about the physical status of a piece of salt, whether something's considered mufushal or not considered mufushal. To that end, they quote from Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger, one of his many svarim, is Sefer Achayim on Or Achayim. There's a very lengthy piece in Shlomo Kluger Sefer Achayim on Simen Shin Yud Tes, Seif Tes. It's in the paragraph beginning the ode Yesh Lahazbir. He discusses, can you put uncooked salt, the taromis, together with cook salt in such a way that it's batel? He says, no, bittel is only relevant when it comes to iser v'heter, not when it comes to melacha Shabbos. When it comes to melacha Shabbos, we're talking about, is there an act of bishul done on the part that's not nisbashel? So you can't hide, or you can't claim a lucky principle of bittel berov to avoid a melacha daraisa on the part that's not nisbashel. Bimitzias, you're being mevashel the salt that wasn't yet nisbashel. Bittul berov isn't going to help you to avoid an iser bishul. So they quote here from Rav Schechter that even in the Metzius as such, that even in if there are pieces of soil that weren't this bashel, but they were subject to afiyah, they were subject to being dried in an oven at a high temperature. And even if it's unclear whether that's considered halachic afiyah, if it's only cooked there for or dried out there for 10 minutes. But mistaber, that since the reason you'd be machmir that melach is dispashal and at least sheni is because it's mikali habishal. If it's mikali bishal, that means that it cooks easily. If it cooks easily, then it's going to react even to a 10 minute infusion of heat. So for that reason, at the very least, it's a fia, and we'd be makel for bishul achar, for a fia achar bishul in this context. And then they go for Rabbi Belsky. Rabbi Belsky thought that it was definitely a fia, and he could definitely be made go as far as a fia achar bishul the klisheni, and even with klivisha shehusam adabe esh. Given that maker din, we assume that salt is not mispashal even in klivisha, and Rosh Hashanah is not koshesh for the concern that if you have something that is neft, that is nisbashel, that is a solid, if it liquefies immediately, then we'd have to consider that as that relach, that chumra of the shari tshuva of kivager. So chapter, I just talking to him after mincha, said that's shvara chumra, and they have to be cautious for that. And Rabbi Willig is of the same opinion. They also quoted these OU documents that there were some, in salt production, there were some additives that are not necessarily cooked. So if, as we just said from Shlomo Kluger, we can't talk about bittel, so if there's any little bit that was in the spashel, should be kosher, so that's subject to bishul. So So they quote from Rav Schechter that the additives added to salt are not food. And when it comes to non-food items, the standard for Bishul is whether there's a change in state. So if you soften metal or you dry wood, that's considered Bishul. But there's no change of state to these additives when you're cooking the salt. So that in Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, there shouldn't be any concern of Bishul. The salt itself is probably Nisvasha. There's a little bit of additives, which they say here is less than 0.005% or 50 parts per billion. So even if these additives weren't subject to Bishul before, but the additives are not food, and therefore the standard of Bishul is different, it wouldn't be relevant here. Then they quote from Rabbi Belsky that since this is such a tiny percentage that's reflected by these additives, and even Rav Shlomo Kluger would agree that Bittul is Shaykh. Because in Rav Shlomo Kluger's case, you intend to cook the salt. So even if the salt is a mi'ah, but you intend to cook that part of the salt. Here, the additives have no significance to you. You're not intending to cook them at all. And therefore, it shouldn't pose a problem of Bishul. So therefore, the OU Baskins, that regular table salt can be added to not only Kli Rishon, not only Kli Sheni, but even a Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'agabe Ha'esh. I saw it in the Or HaShabbos. He says the same thing as Rabbi Belsky. He quotes from Nissen Karelitz that these additives are so such a tiny miyut that it's not of any consequence in Hilchos Bishul. There's no Malachas Machshavas. There's no intention of cooking those additives in the salt.
I just left something in my office.
OU also has, as far as a Splenda and Swedenlow, or equal, which are saccharin and aspartame, that all these things, for all intents and purposes, are previously cooked. And therefore, there's no problem putting them in a Kli Sheni. Now, the way they present it, they're choshesh that you put it shouldn't put it in a Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'agabe Esh, because maybe we should be choshesh that if it liquefies, that's Bishul Acher Bishul B'Davar L'Ach. I just asked Rav Schechter again, and he was surprised that they wrote that, because he thought that you don't have to be choshesh for that position at all, and therefore should be wanted to put even in a Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'agabe Esh. What about honey? So the best that I could find looking around the internet is that it seems that most commercially marketed honey in the U.S. is pasteurized. And it's only organic honeys and the types that are not pasteurized. According to Wikipedia, pasteurization of honey takes place at or above 161 degrees Fahrenheit. although I saw somewhere else that talks about 145 degrees Fahrenheit. So 161 degrees Fahrenheit is just around the threshold that we consider the Atzalenispo on the upper end, the L'chobra. So if that's the Metzias, that your honey is pasteurized above or in the 160s, presumably that would be considered nistasha for our purposes, and therefore you could safely put honey in a cheney on Shabbos in your tea. I was just on the phone with Rabbi Ganek earlier about something else. I asked him if he knows whether the OU has done research on this and has any data on honey pasteurization temperatures. He didn't know. I emailed Rabbi Gerstein and haven't heard back yet if there's anything there. But if that is the case, I asked Rabbi Willing earlier if he would put honey in the tea on Shabbos. He told me he doesn't drink tea. But if this is the case, that honey is pasteurized to the tune of 160 something degrees, then it should be mutter to put honey in your cliche tea on Shabbos. Okay, so let's talk now a little bit about Kli Shlishi. The Urayim that we mentioned last time writes explicitly that the Urayim in the context of Kali Adishal and the Chashash that anything could be Kali Adishal unless we know otherwise. So the Urayim writes explicitly that there's no distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Some point out that that line of the Urayim doesn't appear in earlier sources with the suggestion that maybe not everyone who talks about the Kli Shlishi had access to that line in the Urayim. Prima Gadim, Eishel Avram Sifkata Lamed Hei. Prima Gadim, Eishel Avram Sifkata Lamed Hei, paragraph beginning the in, suggests that there's Makam Lahakel when it comes to putting past in a Kli Shlishi. Now, even if we are choshesh that yesh afia, yesh bishel achar afia, and therefore you wouldn't be able to put a piece of bread in your soup in a Kli Sheni, but if you pour from a Kli Sheni into a Kli Shlishi, then you could put bread in that Kli Shlishi. And the Mishabura quotes this in Sifkata Mem Zayin. In the context of pas. Rabbi Carr points out, page Tav Nun Dalet, that the Prima Gadim is only makel when it comes to something that Meikra did should have been mutter anyway in a Kli Sheni, or Machra in a Kli Sheni, meaning Meikra did. According to many, a Vishal Akharfiya, we're mafmir on Vishal Akharfiya in a Kli Sheni, but that's the Bima Gadin Sade that you could be Nakel in a Kli Shlishi, even if we're mafmir in a Kli Sheni. That's also consistent with the context of Mishabur Kos in Sifkata Mendez. So there he writes, sorry, Sifkata Mem He, in the context of Bitzal and Meshumet. That if you want to put in onions and garlic, you can do that in a Kli Shlishi, but not in a Kli Sheni. Mishum really end of Sifkata Mem He. That's also Talib and Machlokas, whether Bitzalim are Kali Habishal. So that's another context of the Mishnah Mishabura quotes that you could be makel on a Kli Shlishi. So that would say the Mishabura is only prepared to be makel on a Kli Shlishi if it's something that Meikra Din is mutter of a Kli Sheni. You were just machmir not to put it in a Kli Sheni. The Mor HaShabbos understood the Mishabura differently. that the Mishabura meant to be Mako on a Klishlishi more broadly, and he's only Machmir when it comes to tea, not to make Tina Klishlishi, because that's near La'ayin, that is Mizbasho. As the Aruch HaShulchan says vividly, that if you put your tea leaves into the water gets colored. So obviously there's Bishul going on, there says the Aruch HaShulchan. That's where the Mishabura is Mako. And that seems to be how the Shmir Shabbos understood the Mishabur as well. The Shmir Shabbos also quotes this time that a Klishlishi is not in the special even for Kali Abishal. So that seems to be a machlokas among the later Svarim, how to understand the Mishabrua. Is the Mishabrua's default position that a Klishlishi is Mevashal, whatever Klisheni would be Mevashal? And they're just exceptions for that which is only a chumrah, or the Mishabru assume that in principle a klishlishi is never mivashel, with the exception of t, where it's near la'ayin, then it is mivashel. Chazanish, now we quoted last time, Siman Nun Beis, the very end of Os Yutes, right, that fundamentally, there's no difference between a klishon and a klisheni and a klishlishi. And everything's really dependent on the temperature. Meaning, if something has a lesbo, it'll be mevashel even in a klishlishi. If it's not yet a lesbo, it'll be mevashel even in a klisheni. Then he has a line that, as it is, generally speaking, a klishlishi is not going to be yet a lesbo. If you pour something from klishlishi to klisheni, then from klisheni to klishlishi, usually by the time it gets into the klishlishi, it's not going to be yad saledus. The Aruch HaShabbos understood in that line of the Chazanish that the Chazanish was saying that in general you can be mikra on a klishlishi by something that's mutter mikra did in a klisheni, like pas. As opposed to tea leaves that are Kali Abishal. But I'm not sure if that's apparent in those words, the Chazanish per se. You have to know what the Chazanish held in general. But in that line of Chazanish, I'm not sure if that's so apparent in the words. As we'll see, at the very least, when it comes to tea, Mishabru assumes in Sikkot and Lamates, or HaShulchan Os Kafkas, that Klishishi is not effective, which is why the Mishabru recommends using essence, as we'll talk about a little bit later. And the Rav is of the position that there's no such thing as a Klishishi. Halacha only has Klimishon and Klisheni. And whatever is mispashel or something mispashel and klisheni, the same is true in a klishishi. A klishishi is never of any use, which is generally the minhag in our yeshiva, like the Rav, that there's no such thing as a klishishi. Moshe, in his truest Rabbi Eider, assumes not that way. Moshe has a more robust endorsement of klishlishi, and therefore holds that you can make tea in a klishlishi without restriction. The Aruch HaShulchan claim that it must be tea leaves on the spashon of klishlishi because you see the coloration of the water. So Moshe says that's not bishul. Even if you put it in cold water, it could color the water. But that doesn't prove anything about whether it's bishul or not. Now, what about Mefzikim Mevashon and Klishlishi? We noted last time, 2 days from Tosfos Hamdaf Lamedes, and the Magen Avraham Mishabura, that independent of Kali Abishal, There's another consideration that if you put something in a klisheni, it's matzik of a vashel. So in theory, even if you have something that's not kali vishel, but it's not water and it's not tavlin, and you put it in a klisheni, even if it's not kali vishel, it's still matzik of a vashel and usher midrabanan for that reason. We just noted last time that if you're matmir, that everything is kali vishel unless known otherwise, so there isn't that much where in practice matzik of a vashel would be relevant, that you wouldn't be concerned about Kali Bishal anyway. But in theory, if we knew what Kali Bishal are, there were things where they're not Kali Bishal, and yet it's also the cliche to be the Rabbanan because of Nefzik and Mavashal. So what about Nefzik and Mavashal in a cliche? So the Orach HaShabbos writes, Ha'arav Kuf Kavav, that at first glance, that should be totally on what you hold about cliche in general. So if you hold that cliche is the Vasha like a Klisheni, it should be Mefzik of Vasha like a Klisheni. If a Klisheni is in the Vasha like a Klisheni, so it shouldn't be Mefzik of Vasha either. However, he points out that may not be the case. That even if you simulate the Chazon Ish, that fundamentally a Klisheni is the same as a Klisheni in most situations, and a Klisheni is also a Vasha, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's Mefzik of Avashel as well. Because, he points out, it's Mugura from Tosfos Adaf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, which is the source for this concern of Mefzik of Avashel, that Eroi Mikli Sheni onto something that's not Mikali Avishel is Mutter. When you pour something from a klisheni onto something that's not kali vishal, that's mutter, meaning there's no mafsik of avashel. So that's the case that even with klisheni is no mafsik of avashel. There's no reason to assume, or not necessarily any reason to assume, that putting something in a klishlishi would be mafsik of avashel. Putting something in a klishlishi shouldn't be any worse than iroi miklisheni. Now you could argue, no, iroi miklisheni is a mafsik of avashel because that's not the normal way of bishel, as opposed to shriya, which is a more normal form of bishel. That's what he says. If ir miklisheni doesn't pose a problem with mafsik of avashel, then being shor miklishlishi wouldn't pose a problem with mafsik of avashel either. Let's just talk briefly about Eroi. The subtopics that are more Issa V'Hetri topics than Bishul Shabbos topics, we're just going to touch on, but not spend that much time on. But Tosos on Daf Nameis on the days, Dibra Maskel Aval No Sein, and Tosos on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Dibra Maskel Kol Shabbah. So they have Machlokas, the Rashbam, and the Rabbeinu Tam. What is the status of Iroi? According to the Rashbam, Iroi Mikli Vishon is equivalent to a klisheni. If you're pouring something out of a Kli Vishon, even if it's still in the air, hasn't landed yet, it's not, or it's in the process of landing, that already has the status of a klisheni, not of a Kli Vishon. Once the water leaves the Kli Vishon, it's considered like a klisheni. Noah defines Machamos grass. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, no, Iroi Kikli Vishon, Iroi Mikli Vishon is Kikli Vishon. And that itself is a machlokas, how to understand Rabbeinu Tam, different versions of Rabbeinu Tam, different mesachtos. And this is presented kind of as the third position at the end of this Tosfos Yarmon Beis Amud Beis, whether according to Rabbeinu Tam, if Iroi Mikli Vishon is like Kikli Vishon, is a mevashel kulo, is a mevashel kedeglito? Is a mevashel the entire thing that you poured over? Is it only mevashel the outer shell? Is it only mevashel a kedeglito? So that's the third day here in Tosfos on Daf Nun Beis. And that's machlokas of the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is presented differently, different mesachtos, whether it's mevashel kulo or mevashel kedeglito. Magen Mishnah on the Rambam, the Rambam Perek Beis, Halacha Vav, quotes that the Ramban, the Rashba, are like the Rashban, that Ir Mikli Rishon is not Mevashel. But he thinks it has to be Choshesh Lelacha to the Machmirin, that Ir Mikli Rishon is Mevashel. How do we pass it in Shulchan Aruch? Simin Shin Yud Kes Se'if Yud. Also, we think Tavlin the Ta'ara, the Lara Salaya, Mikli Rishon. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Dalit, the after tablet a mispasha with lisheni the canal, you come out of my ear and mikli rishon, kaimalan to whom mivashel kedei klipa. The feeling of the ebed aser and near the head yalein shelo nifak kakiluach. That at least if it's an ear shelo nifak kakiluach where there is a straight stream from the klivishon onto the thing that the water is falling onto. So that is Nisbashel, albeit Kedei Klipa. The Ir Mikli Rishon is Mevatel Kedei Klipa. But just to note, there is a Samach Lokes Achronim about Iroi Shenischa. So you have an Iroi, let's say an Iroi Shalonis Akakiluach, an Iroi that there's a steady stream onto the plate that it's falling onto, onto the bowl that it's falling into. But then the food item that may be subject to Bishol is not directly under the stream of water, it's to the side. So the water comes down into the bowl, and then the water flows onto the food item that's elsewhere in the bowl. It says there, if you have Eger here, and it is Hagos Shulchan Aruch Tesif Yud. The Isser Beheter, Klal Am and Alis, and Katan Alis, Kasav the Eight Isser El Alaras El Taflin Asman. Avalishbo Pitsidan Lo. That if it's what's called the Irish and Iskal, there's no Isser. The Isser is only if the water falls directly on the food item. But if it falls elsewhere in the pot and then flows, that's not a problem of Eroi being the Vasha. And then if today is Messiah, the Prima Gadin, in Yaradea, Simon Sadi Hei, Sekatin Yates, Sadi Hei, Yates HaMashach, who is Machmir. Shmir Shabbos will cause the paskins that since we assume lalacha that Iroi is a vashel kedei klipa, you'd be allowed to pour hot water from a klivishon, from an urn, from a klivishon, onto a baby bottle. Because even though Iroi is a vashel kedei klipa, the bottle is a klipa. As if you pour something on a piece of meat, so you can't define exactly how thick the klipa is per se. So the outer layer is subject to bishul. But if you have a baby bottle, so the bottle is the klipa. So then, as long as you don't run into any hamana problems, you can pour hot water from a klivishon onto a baby bottle, and that would be heter gamur of the kapila. Rabbi Karp writes, along the same lines, that since Iroi is only Mevashel Kedei Klipa, so if you have something which has a defined Klipa that's not edible and it's not from Kali Abishal, then you can pour out water from a Klivishon onto that. So the example is a walnut. You have a walnut that has a shell around it. So that's clearly, that's a real Klipa. And assuming it's not... He presumes it's not Mikali Abishal because it's a hard walnut. So if you're not Salavisa, but in theory, if you had some reason that you want to pour hot water over a walnut, perhaps that would be mutter because the shell of the walnut is a klipa, and then it's only Yuvashel.
White. It is not edible yet, as it's about hardening itself.
Right, I guess that's what he's saying. Right. So since the shell is not edible, so we're not worried about bishul because it's not going to the heat is not going to change the state. So it's not like metal that's going to be nibuach or wood that's going to be softened. There's no state change to the walnut shell, and therefore there's no bishul on the klipa itself. And the bishul on the klipa is not halachically problematic bishul. And then there's no problem in pouring hot water over walnut. Why anyone would pour hot water over walnut is irrelevant to the point. Yeah.
Once we're not sure of the size of the klipa of like a piece of meat, how do we know that the klipa of a walnut or a bottle is enough to be considered?
Because that's definitely, I mean, in your idea, a klipa is when you have to remove a klipa, you remove a thin layer. So the thickness of a water bottle or the thickness of a walnut shell is definitely thicker than whatever the cleave is.
If you have like chicken skin completely covering a whole beef chicken, how do you know that's not thick enough to be thick? Or just whole shish, maybe it's not? Or
well, first of all, the chicken's skin is probably edible. But
oh, it has to be a non edible cleave.
Right. And usually, if you have something that is right, that's why walnut is the more likely example.
Is it like the fact that it's inedible that's driving the fact that we drew it as a klipa with a defined shear?
No, that's what's driving the hat there. Why there's no iser bishul on it? You can't be mivashel
the skin.
So if the klipa is something that's not subject to bishul.
Yeah.
And you can define what the klipa is, then we're not worried about the bishul on the rest of the food item. Rather than Sion Abba Sho'ol, the Dirshu Mishnah quotes this and the Bor Shabbos quotes this. He has like brief Piskei Shabbos in Chelik Beis Perek Lamed, or Letzion Chelik Beis Perek Lamed. So he writes that you can pour hot water from a klivishon onto a tea bag on Shabbos because the bag is a klipa. So Mor Shabbos points out that he must be talking about a bag that's not porous, which is not our tea bags. There's no holes, no, so the water can't, there's a firm cleaver, but that doesn't seem, I don't think that fits with our mitzvahs of T-Max. We assume halacha that Iroy is mevashel even a liquid. And the fact that Iroi is Mavashel, albeit a Klipa, human Klivishon, and this Klivishon is Mavashel, that's even if you pour from Klivishon onto a liquid. That's the Mishnah Berurah assumes in Sipat Lama Tess, and it's deep discussion that we'll get to. However, the Mishnah Berurah does point out in Ber Halacha, Sif Yubayz, Diva Maskel Vahu, that there is a minority opinion to be shown in Kotzer for the Rashba and the Ran, that Iroi is a Mevashel a Mashke, because when you pour the hot water into the cold liquid, everything gets mixed together so readily that there isn't any real Bishul going on, maybe partially because you can't define the Klipa so well, the Klipa is amorphous. So he says we don't do something like that, but at least when it comes to Maisa Shabbos, that might create a heter for Maisa Shabbos if someone did engage in Eroi onto a liquid in error. What is the status of a ladle as far as whether we define that as a kli rishon or a kli sheni? Or if you take the soup bowl as a kli rishon, so you put the ladle in the soup bowl and dish out soup into a bowl. So technically speaking, do we view that ladle as a kli sheni? And then when you're putting the soup into the bowl is already a kli shlishi if such a thing exists, or is a ladle just an extension of the soup bowl of the Klimisha? The Tosfos, this is discussed both in the Rishonim and in the Nosei Kelma Shulchan Aruch and Yeridaya in the context of Tarovas, in the context of Hagalah. If Hagalah has to be done with a Klimishon, what is the status of a ladle? The Tosfos raises this in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, Yibra Maskel Kinsa. Tosfos Avodah Zarah, Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, Yibra Maskel Kinsa. Tosfos leaves that as a Safek, whether when it comes to Hagalah, a ladle is considered a kli rishon or a kli sheni. The Taz discusses this briefly here in Sukkot in Yutes, but more barichos in Yerideya, Simen Tzadi Bei Sukkot Lamed. Simen Tzadi Bei Sukkot Lamed there, the Taz quotes the Maril in Hilchos Pesach. Maril writes, Al Yishav min Akli Shavo Harosin the Kli Acher. So you shouldn't dip a Kli into the Kli without water. The Laros Bimanu Lahagyo, and then to pour from that ladle onto something else to do a gala. You shouldn't the Kli Shishoi Vivo, who Kli Shani? Then it's Batul Bishal Harosin, Term Shemagilan, because that ladle has the status of Kli Shani. And the water isn't water that's capable of affecting Hagalah. But the Maril says, if you keep the ladle in the original pot for a amount of time, such that when you then pull it out, the water is still roseach, that is considered to be a kli rishon. And the Taz disagrees on the Maril, and the Taz says, no, even if you don't keep it in there for a long period of time, even if you just stick it in and pull it out, that's still considered to be a kli rishon. So that's a kula in Hilchos Hagalah, that ladle is considered a kli rishon, but it's a churban in Hilchos Shabbos that the ladle would be considered a kli rishon, and then when you're pouring it the soup into the soup bowl, then the soup bowl would be a kli sheni and not a kli shlishi. That's what the Shach assumes as well. In Taz, the Shach and Yerodea, Simen Kuv Zayin, Sukkot and Zayin, Simen Kuv Zayin, Sukkot and Zayin. And the Chav of Stas disagrees. Chav of Stas, Tzadi Beis, the Urim, Sukkot and Kuv Zayin, Tzadi Beis, Sukkot and Kuv Zayin, right back and forth. Lemaisa, the Mishabura writes in Sukkot and Pei Zayin, Klisheni Mikri Kisha Irim and a Kli Visha and Shirasiko Akam and the Self of Self Klita. Mutra Filiaxle at this bow. Abulm Shoi Bukli Reka, Mito Kli Visha, Ish Omer Dina Kukli Visha, Kubifrad and Masha Kli Reka, the Self of Achamal Rasiva, Badim Kukli Visha. So that's the Taz that you have to be Koshe, so that label is considered to be a Kli Visha. However, the Mishabura writes in Sukkot and Mem Hei, when it comes to a fi acharbishol, even though we're machmir on a fi acharbishol, but the Mishabura says you can be makel on bishol acharfiyah, The Mishnah Berurah says you could be megal and bishul afrafiyah b'kli shlishi, and you could be megal to count the ladle as a kli sheni in order to make your soup bowl into a kli shlishi. So when it comes to bishul afrafiyah, which is the chumrah anyway, so then Mishnah Berurah says you could be megal on kli shlishi, and you could be megal to consider something a kli shlishi based on a ladle. If you hold that kli shlishi never helps, so then it's not going to help here either. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah passes. Presumably, to the extent that we have quoted Rabbi Kar from Rabbi Yashiv that Gisel Chanan every year, Shabbos Agadol, warned the Baal Batim not to put matzah in the soup on Shabbos. So presumably, he was Koshesh that little doesn't help. Or that Kli Shlishi doesn't help, or both. Okay. So we've made passing reference to the Mishnah Berurah's analysis of tea many times already. But let's try to look at it together and just see inside how the Mishnah Berurah presents the tea problem. I just saw in the news today that the hostage event in Texas on Shabbos, the way the attacker got in was the rabbi saw him freezing outside and invited him in for a cup of tea. But apparently they were having tea before services began. I don't know if they use the kli shlishi or essence. Shabura says, in Sukkot and Lamites, see the Shabbos, Pasha, the postkin, the Yeshua, Mishim, Bishop. Tea leaves, again, tea bags are only invented in 1903, and they probably didn't get to ride in the first year either. So tea on Shabbos, tea leaves, Pasha, the Yeshua, Mishim, Bishop. The maize, the Yeshua, this is Kilo. The Mishoge, Chiyat Gatas. If you're going to pour hot water from the urn onto the tea leaves, that's a malacha d'oraisa, the kind of line, Iroi Mevashel Kedei Klipa. The Kol Shekeinim Yavidena Ocher Kach Ala Tanur of the Toch HaKochlin Ad Sheya Yatzle Dispo Bevada Yavul Kul Yamli Dei Isser Skile. How do you say that? We heat it up in the oven. It's definitely malacha d'oraisa. The Thilam Yerz Alita Nes Ali Atei L'Sof HaKli Ocher Sheya Racham L'Sof Ha. So they will say, okay, you'll pour that water into the cup, and then you'll put the tea leaves in. Kadeshi alamayim shem klisheni. Gam gedasar. In the kaimalam siv zeh, the davar shalom bav echam of neya shabbos, ein sharen afilu b'klisheni. V'kol shekein, l'fim ashe b'gur v'siv zeh, Yesh dvarim rakim kali abishol, shem esbashim afilu v'adachim b'kli sheni. Efshad yesh ba'alim gamkin chashash, esu deraisa afilu b'ofen zeh. If it's kali abishol, then it's a malacha deraisa even a kli sheni. Yalkei, neskim ha'chronim, yesh laros aleya me'eru shabbos, rose could be kli bishon. So the first suggested is, pour hot water onto the tea leaves before Shabbos. Kadesh Aydezeya Nikra Tim Vushal Vimixas. That way you'll have already cooked the tea leaves partially. The Ira Mavasha Kadeklipa. Yahafe Besa Ira Yasati Heite Vesocha Rostim Milmal Lamad Matalamala. And then you should shake and move the tea leaves in the water that you poured onto before Shabbos in all directions. The Acher Kach Yarek as the essence Lukli Acher. Then you pour out the accumulated water. Kedesh Yishru Aliyat Yedeshim. That way the tea leaves will dry. And then you can pour hot water from the Kli Rishon onto the dry tea leaves on Shabbos. You can't leave the essence there and then pour hot water over it because that's bishul after bishul. In lo shemei essence at sonanim, hey merubin shalei yistamoy deyamayim shamar aleyim lemachar, unless there's much more cold water than hot water. And the mixture won't get the absolute at this point. Tena din lin yukofi, yizor shalei yar aleyim mayim cham yukli vishon, in lo shir aleyim yasmo beher kisamayim aleyim betam kona. Veda. Da'av shi tarnu laris tam aliyate vakofi. So even though we allowed you to pour hot water over the tea leaves on Erev Shabbos, then dry them out, and now pour hot water over the tea leaves on Shabbos, so what we just said till now, not the best option either. It's acceptable. A better etza. The hainu sheisak in the essence of Erev Shabbos and Gabri. Shelo yisarik laros asofo od roskin lemachar b'Shabbos. To just prepare tea essence on Erev Shabbos. Ulamachar kishay yistarik lishtos yitena essence hatzonein l'soch hakos sheshosebo arkar shira mayim chamin l'socho v'nasek lishenim. The better etza is, says the Mishnah Berura, prepare essence before Shabbos, soak the tea leaves in water. Now you have tea essence. You want to have your tea on Shabbos, you pour hot water into a Kli Sheni, and then you pour a little bit of the essence into that cup. Then that way, the Mishnah Berura assumes that even though rechoshesh for yesh bishul after bishul with davar lach, but a kli sheni, if it's already been nisvashel agarmi, even though it's nistane, it's mutter. Therefore, if you have hot water kli sheni, you can pour the tea essence into the water. Says the Sharetzim Samach Dalid, Uletzviya Elochosh Dein Tzviya Ba'ochlin. And don't worry about the fact that the water is being discolored by the tea essence, because a Tzviya Ba'ochlin, as we'll talk about later on. So that's the Mishnah Berura's recommended procedure, that if you have essence that remains hot, then in theory you can even put the essence in and then pour the hot water of the essence. And if you have essence that's cold, so put the hot water in the shady, then pour the essence into that water, and then you have your tea on Shabbos. The Moshe thinks that you can do anything you want in a klishlishi, so you can even dip your tea bag into a klishlishi without thinking twice. According to the Rav, B'Shem Reb Chaim, tea leaves are tav l'nakali bishul. So you can even put tea leaves in a Kli Sheni. Don't try that at home. And according to Mishnah Berura, which is the, I guess, the Mahalach HaMukhurva, the more accepted sock among the postmen of the last 100 years, is to prepare tea essence and pour the essence into hot water in a Kli Sheni. If you have instant tea, so that would work. Also, instant tea is cooked, like instant coffee, and if you have to put, again, assuming that we're not concerned about the liquefaction, so then you can put your instant tea mix into Kli Sheni, into hot water Kli Sheni, just as you can put your instant coffee into hot water or cliche. Okay. So, yeah, the same is true when it comes to instant coffee, as we said. I just saw in the Mora Shabbos in Chelo Gimel, he has a whole section on coffee. The quotes here, very beginning, the Sefer Oz Nidveru, they quote a letter from Shmuel Kaplan, the Adev Mitzvot, who wrote to Tzipas Frank about the production method of instant coffee made by Elite, whose factory was in Tzfat. So he writes that the coffee beans are all heated up as part of the production. And then it turns into a liquid. He writes, the ta'anim sodiyim lower to the galos as midas hachom shalamai. They won't let you know exactly how hot they heat it up to, because they don't want anyone to imitate the production, like Coke's secret formula. But he says, you could be rest assured that it's more than Yad Selectus. No, so it's clear later on that this Rabbi Kaplan was lighted on the secret. He just couldn't tell the secret. That's a prank.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry?
I was just saying, like, the equivalent of, like, all the ingredients in here are in the, nothing else is in here, but we can't say exactly what it is. So, you know, it's kosher, so you can tell at least this off, but you can't say
right. So, I think it sounds like he was lighted on the secret, but he couldn't reveal it to anyone else. Yeah, but that seems pretty universal that it's the coffee, it's the cocoa, I believe it's the cocoa also is cooked. Have fun.
It's cocoa, so I can't.
Yeah, Shmir Shabbos, he puts afkat cocoa on the list, things that are already cooked ahead of time. I guess it could be that you have to check the production in your own country. I don't remember seeing that in the English books, so I guess we could check. But instant coffee is generally universally subject to visual ahead of time, and therefore there's no problem putting it in a cliche on shots. Okay, let's stop here for today. And next time, I should cover more ground than I was expecting today. So let's see what we're going to do next time. Talk about Hadassah, that's at the end of the sermon. Have you finished Sheni Chas already?
Yeah, I'm a little behind you.
Sorry? I'm a little behind you. You're a little behind me. You're ahead of me, I assume.
Yeah, more or less.
Have you finished the sermon?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
That's
what I suppose. Right. So I'm not sure if I'm going to spend time in Ambati or not. And the sugya is on Nantanan Bays. If not, then we could probably finish up on Thursday, which I submit going to next week.
Augustine is on Monday.
Well, that's
Augustine on Monday.
Should we do that? Should we make next week Chazar?
No, sure.
Where does that be want to do Rishon Gimel for that?
Rishon Gimel will probably take 3 weeks. I think that's pushing it too far ahead before the next Bet Dinah. So let's we'll do that. So we'll have a shiur on Thursday. We'll try to tie up Shin Yud Ches. Maybe depending on what I decide, we'll go to Monday also. I can't do shiur on Sunday, but I was assuming I can shiur Monday next week. And then maybe we'll break, I guess, either after Thursday or after Monday. But that will be, I think that'll be 16 shiur since the last book on. And I don't need either try to give you back your last bachana before the
whatever matters to people who are gone though. I just don't know what their deal is. But I think Ezra was coming back on Wednesday.
Next week.
Yeah. I think Michael was coming back on Thursday.
Right. I think they both had preferred doing Chazar when they're away.
That is true.
Isn't that right. Okay. So let's Monday the 28th. Then if we wrap up and